The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
It's quite unbelievable that somebody will come and the intention was to kill everybody in that church. And those running out, they were being shot from outside. Those who were inside were being shot from inside. And they threw two dynamites to blow up the altar down to the sanctuary. This kind of desecration can only be done by the evil one.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Good afternoon, John Harper for Drew. That sound from yesterday's massacre of 50 Catholics at a church in southwest Nigeria. We'll go in depth on that in just a couple of moments here on the Drew Mariani Show. There's a lot to get to. Let me bring you up to speed. And as we begin this afternoon, we're monitoring what is happening at the Supreme Court as the justices prepare to adjourn for this year. A decision on Roe versus Wade could come at any time. ABC's Faith Obube is outside the Supreme Court where demonstrations are happening as we speak.
While a group of anti-abortion activists chanted in front of the Supreme Court Monday, a man in blue jeans and a red shirt carrying a green bandana walked as close as he could to the Supreme Court building and chained a bike lock around his neck to the recently erected fencing. Officers quickly responded, cutting him loose and put him in handcuffs.
Those are the demonstrations going on outside the Supreme Court. And of course, when that decision comes down on Roe versus Wade, you'll hear live coverage and analysis through the filter of our faith. It'll be on the air instantly, only one place here on Relevant Radio and, of course, on the Relevant Radio app. Another issue of life is the gun violence that you and I have been witnessing. It was a very deadly weekend across the country from Philadelphia to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Sadly, more souls lost. And on Capitol Hill, senators say they could reach a bipartisan deal on guns this week.
We know that a small group of bipartisan senators are considering a range of options, from expanded background checks to incentives for states to enact red flag laws that would temporarily take guns away from people considered to be dangerous, as well as funding for mental health and school security.
That's ABC's Rachel Scott covering the story. Any potential agreement probably wouldn't include what the president detailed last week. And he was talking about renewing the federal assault weapons ban that expired back in 2004. But Senator Agnes King, who is an independent out of the state of Maine, said there is a lot that could be done.
I believe that we can put in place common sense restrictions that won't impinge on the rights of law-abiding gun owners, but will protect the public and particularly our children.
And just a few hours ago in the state of New York, Governor Kathy Hochul signed a gun reform bill that bans anyone under the age of 21 from buying or possessing a semi-automatic rifle, along with a series of other changes.
No 18-year-old can walk in on their birthday and walk out with an AR-15. Those days are over. Those days are over. You hear that? Those days are over.
That's the governor of the state of New York signing that bill into law just a few hours ago. That law also bans the sale of body armor, requires a license to buy assault rifles, in addition to raising the minimum age to 21 to buy an assault rifle. And New York joins a handful of other states, including Florida and Illinois, that require buyers to be at least 21 to purchase some type of what they call long guns. And the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has called on Congress to work towards legislation, and I'm quoting now from the bishops, addresses all aspects of the crisis, end quote, mainly gun control, mental health, and declining family life. And as we begin the Drew Mariani Show this afternoon, among the other stories that we're following is a story that seems to change almost by the hour, and that's what you and I pay for a gallon of gas.
Drivers nationwide filling up their tanks and emptying their wallets. Nine states in Washington, D.C. now averaging more than $5 a gallon. The national average soaring to a record $4.84, according to AAA. In a new ABC News poll, three-quarters of Americans say gas prices are an extremely or very important factor in how they'll vote in the midterms.
That's ABC's Will Carr covering the gas prices and reporting that the Biden administration is putting some blame on the big oil companies who have decided not to increase production. Here's Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg talking about that.
It's been very striking right now. to see these oil companies who have become almost ridiculously profitable. And you hear these oil executives on the record talking about how they're not going to increase production. But we also know that the price of gasoline is not set by a dial in the Oval Office. And when an oil company is deciding hour by hour how much to charge you for a gallon of gas, they're not calling the administration to ask what they should do.
How much are you paying if you're listening in California today? Wow. You're seeing some of the worst gas prices in the country. There are some stations around L.A. close to $8 a gallon. Go up the coast, Mendocino, $10 a gallon for 1 gallon of unleaded regular. Wow. Also today, June 6th, we're marking an anniversary. June 6th, 1944, today is the 70th anniversary of D-Day, when Allied forces landed on Omaha Beach. It's the sound of bagpipes there in the background. They greeted several thousand people who are at the American Cemetery overlooking Omaha Beach on the 70th anniversary of D-Day. It's 8 minutes after the hour here on the Drew Mariani Show, and we begin this hour with a story that you heard right at the top with that sound that began the massacre in yesterday in Nigeria. And Pope Francis expressed his solidarity, his closeness with Catholics in Nigeria. This is after gunmen stormed a church, reportedly killed at least 50 people. This was during Mass yesterday on Pentecost Sunday. The Holy Father said that he's praying for the victims and the country, entrusting both of them to the Lord so that he may send the Spirit to comfort them. The words of the Holy Father: gunmen fired on people inside and outside St. Francis Xavier Church in Owa, located in the southwestern state of Ondo, also the Diocese of Ondo. No group has claimed responsibility yet for that attack. In addition to those who were killed, dozens more were injured and rushed to nearby hospitals. Let's give you some perspective on that story right now, at a time when even here in the United States, you and I are seeing pushback here on how we view issues of faith. Joining us this afternoon is Eric Patterson, the Executive Vice President of the Religious Freedom Institute. You can find online at religiousfreedominstitute.org. That's religiousfreedominstitute.org. Eric, good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being with you today.
It's good to have you on. This is a story that has not gotten very much attention in secular media. I watched, whatever network newscasts were on last night, and there was nary a mention of that. Explain a little bit more, for those who may be hearing the story for the first time, the true impact of this, especially now when I know there are so many questions surrounding the motive of this attack.
I think you're right, first, in recognizing that we are missing in the U.S. media what is going on in these deplorable attacks in Nigeria and elsewhere. I read a news summary last night about the most important things to the Biden administration, one of which is baby formula. And although that's an important issue, it's hard to say whether it's Afghanistan or Nigeria that this administration is taking the persecution of people and the outright murders of people around the world seriously. In the case of Nigeria, as you just mentioned, yesterday morning, one of the many, many, many nefarious attacks in Nigeria over the past year, over 50 people massacred, small explosives gone off, automatic rifle fire in a church during Mass. And what's very significant about this is that many of these attacks happen hours to the north, hundreds of miles north in the middle or the north of the country. Mm-hmm. This is in the southwest, close to the predominantly Christian area. It's the part of the country, it's near Lagos, it's closer to Lagos, which is kind of the New York, in other words, the commercial hub. So that's a big change, the impunity of this attack in a very different part of the country.
If this didn't happen in Nigeria, would we have a different perspective on it in the United States?
You know, I don't think that that's the case. I think our problem in the United States is that we are not focusing on the places where there's this egregious violence, especially against Christians, but also against other religious minorities around the world. In the case of Nigeria, the previous administration did label it as a country of particular concern due to this terrible violence. The Biden administration has backed off on that in its most recent International Religious Freedom Report that came out from the State Department on June 2nd. They said that Nigeria does not qualify
as a violator of religious freedom. But I got to tell you, if you can't go to church without being
missing?
Worried. Yeah, exactly. What they're missing is that over the, that Nigeria is number 7 on Open Doors International's most violent places to be a Christian. After North Korea and Afghanistan, Nigeria, a semi-democracy, is a very, very dangerous place, whether it's in the north at the hands of Boko Haram or in the middle of the country at the hands of these so-called Fulani tribesmen.
Eric, do you think this is off the radar of the Biden administration because they are decidedly not pro-life?
Well, certainly this administration, when it comes to issues of abortion and other things, is not pro-life in that sense. I think that this is an administration that wants to focus over and over on its domestic transformation of American public life, whether it's a bloated government giving tax break, essentially writing off the college debt of so many students,
right,
not being able to handle inflation. And it finds these international issues to be a distraction. But in this case, it's really, it's a terrible, terrible thing for the U.S. not to focus on the biggest country in West Africa that literally, I believe, is on a path either towards disintegration or civil war after year of violent impunity.
Eric Patterson is with us on the Drew Mariani Show this afternoon. He is the executive vice president of the Religious Freedom Institute, and we're talking about the attack that killed at least 50, the massacre at the Catholic Church in Nigeria, in southwestern Nigeria, yesterday. As we talk about these issues of life, and we just played the audio of the demonstration that's going on outside the Supreme Court, and it has been going on since the Roe versus Wade documents were leaked a few weeks ago. Issues of persecution here in the United States, they're really not that far behind. Now, we're not, you know, we pray that what happens in Nigeria, what happened in Nigeria, never happens here. But aren't we going through death through paper cuts here with, you know, the religious persecution that's going on for those of us who stand up for life here in the United States? It may not be as blatant as what happened in Nigeria, but it is indeed there. And that's why this needs to be on our radar.
I would agree that these things need to be on our radar because the increased lawlessness that Nigeria is well down the path on, we need to be worried about this lawlessness in the United States.
Well, we've seen it this weekend from Chattanooga to Philadelphia to, you know, you name the communities. There's sadly 10 souls. This is just in gun violence in addition to what happens, sadly, and we kind of take this for granted that it's going to be a violent weekend in our major metropolitan areas, but this was specific gun violence, people targeted at parties, at different gatherings. So it, you know, it's happening here, but it's in different forms.
Yeah, some of the lawlessness I've been thinking about since you brought up the Roe versus Wade possible overturning is the targeting of the homes of Supreme Court justices,
right,
the deliberate leaking of their where their residents are, where their children go to school, those types of things. I think back just to the summer of 2020 and to a lesser extent the summer of 2021 in American cities, the violent lawlessness, attacks on federal institutions, attacks on houses of worship. You know, we've seen a spike on attacks of houses of worship in urban areas over the past 2 years. I'd sure hate for the summer of 2022 to follow this suit of attacks on religious people and religious institutions.
So what happens here, Eric, as we bring this story back home? And you raise some very important points, because now that you mentioned what we have witnessed, what we have lived through over the last 2 years, what we're talking about in Nigeria, while not as severe here, thanks be to God, is indeed here. How do we put this toothpaste back in the tube? Do we wait for an administration change? Do we wait for Washington to take action? Is this something that's going to happen in our cities with a change in administration and more policing? What's the answer? What's the start to the solution here?
Yeah, well, first, of course, we need a spiritual renewal in our country.
Right.
That's at its heart the most important thing. And for all of us as people of prayer, we should be praying charitably but fervently to that end. The second is that the American people writ large, regardless of their political party, should vote, always vote against and always hold accountable any public leader, any public official who winks at, nods at, or doesn't pay attention to lawlessness and violence. Mm-hmm. The fact that many Democratic Party leaders looked the other way, for instance, in the violence that was perpetrated in the capital of Wisconsin just a couple of years ago,
Yeah.
So the fact that they acted in that way set a precedent, I believe, for the summer of 2020 and ongoing violence. Nigeria is way down the path. It's such a different thing, but it's because the president, state authorities, police, and military at the local level either are scared or look the other way or actively encourage or implicated in the violence. That's how you get way down the path. We don't want to see that in the United States.
Right.
I'm not saying we're near that.
No.
When public officials wink at it, that is what breeds disorder and lawlessness.
And some of that is follow the money, which, if you do that, both sides of the aisle in Washington, D.C., even in our state capital, starts to give you some of the answers.
It is a very challenge. That's a part of democracy. But what we need is statesmen and stateswomen who are going to always stand up for the Constitution first and foremost, and really operate from the golden rule. The golden rule being, even if we vehemently disagree with someone, we're going to treat them with neighbor love, as enjoined by Christ.
Eric Patterson with us here. He's the executive vice president of the Religious Freedom Institute. You can find them online at religiousfreedominstitute.org. We're talking about religious persecution, and maybe that's happened to you on a very small basis. And then we've seen just the opposite end of the spectrum happening yesterday when gunmen kill 50 at a massacre during Pentecost Mass in southwestern Nigeria. As we talk about these issues, and let's bring this back home, Eric, as we talk about these issues of lawlessness that you simply cannot ignore, especially in our big cities, what is the position that our bishops should take? Should they be more vocal? And also, for you and me who are sitting in the pews, what's our position on this? Do we need to be more vocal and more involved in our own local parish communities and our communities at large to start fixing this problem?
Well, I think that, again, one of the things that we need from church leaders and from parishioners is a kind of a resolute support of law and order. And when I say that, what I mean is a faithful, winsome defense in our churches for the Christian just war tradition, and the way that law enforcement based on Romans 13 and things is a public good that is there for to defend us, to take care of us. And instead, we've developed a culture, and even just joking around, calling police pigs or the fuzz, or we need to, in our churches, take very seriously, not a militarism, not a nationalistic idolatry, but instead an appropriate, hey, the civil authorities are ordained by God for our good. That's what biblical teaching is on this. I don't think we hear that very often from the pulpit, that type of teaching, and it should motivate citizens to be supportive of every effort for law enforcement to do the job that it has to do.
And we just simply have to get more involved. I just go right back to that. And I look in the mirror when I say that, of getting more involved. And I'm doing that. I'm trying to do that. I'm not only my parish community, but my community at large, because it's the only way that you and I can stand up and just say, we're Roman Catholic men and women. This is what we stand for. You have heard me say so many times on Relevant Radio that, yeah, as Catholics, we're counterculture, but this is yet another opportunity where you and I can set the culture as Catholics. And that's where I think we need to be more demonstrative, especially at times like this, Eric.
I think that's exactly right. And there really are a lot of ways to do this. It doesn't mean that someone has to run for governor or president, although we need faithful people doing that. But it means school board. It means your local Rotary Club.
Yeah.
What it means is Christians being salt and light. Religious freedom is not simply worshiping on our own or with our friends behind closed doors. We're enjoined in the Bible that everything we do is an act of worship. We should do it well as unto the Lord. We are salt and light for truth, for beauty, and for the good. And we need to be doing that publicly.
Eric, you raise a very good point, because especially as we await a decision on Roe versus Wade, when you talk about getting involved at a school board level or a city council level, how many times do you run into those candidates who may ring your doorbell, even in this time of COVID, and introduce themselves? And if you ask them where they stand on issues of life, you'll get either a definitive answer or a blank stare. But that's also where we need to evangelize and let them know where our vote stands as Roman Catholic men and women.
I think that this is really true, that Christians, we get very, very busy in service, humanitarian service, charitable service, church service, And so we often neglect those public areas where we really do need to have our voice heard. We can do it winsomely, but that means writing a letter, opening the door to a candidate, calling your congressman, all of those types of things. They do take some time, but mm-hmm. unless the church stands up, and here's what's so great. When the church stands lovingly for truth, we're embracing every citizen in the United States, the unborn, the elderly, everybody in between. That's not something to shrink from. That's something to be proud of, because we want the best for everybody.
Right, right. And you may get persecuted for that as we talk about religious persecution. When I came to work on Catholic radio, I lost longtime friends who had walked mm-hmm. away from their faith. And somehow or another, in their minds, I was a traitor by simply, in a very public way, in a very demonstrative way, living my faith. So be it. I can only pray for them. I can only ask them, well, why don't you listen? You know, I'm still the same guy. I'm still the same faith-filled guy that you know off the radio, on the radio. I'm just sharing it in a public way. But no, and so that's, you know, with a very small p, how persecution happens really in our own families. And I'm sure our relevant radio listeners have seen it. I'm sure you've seen it, Eric. It's happened to you.
Yeah, what you've described is counting the cost for life in Christ. But we're so, so fortunate in the United States. You know, coming back to Nigeria just for a moment.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago, a young Christian woman, a sophomore at a college in northern Nigeria, was brutally beaten to death. She was pulled out of the dorms, beaten to death. They covered her body with tires and then burned it. Mm-hmm. And this horrific act, that's one of the things that's out there around the world. And recognizing how bad our Christian brothers and sisters have it in some other parts of the world, it should give us a little bit of backbone in order to be faithful witnesses here in the West and to draw attention to the plight of suffering religious minorities, Christians and others, all around the world.
But the moral of our conversation is to stand up and do something. I mean, we can pray. That's good. That's important. We need to do that. But on this day after Pentecost, we can also pray to the Holy Spirit for mm-hmm. not only tapping into his gifts, but how to figure out how to use them, again, in a very demonstrative way to make a change in our own communities.
I think that that's exactly right. And that's what we at the Religious Freedom Institute try to emphasize to citizens, is there's a huge realm for what we call free exercise equality, the equal opportunity to freely exercise your faith publicly. And that means everything from worship on Sunday, but to all of these ways to love your neighbor through charitable work, through service, through giving, through public sacrifice. All of those areas are ways to be a good Christian citizen and to serve your fellow man.
You know, and it's easier than you think. A story from last year, my pastor said, would you lead the rosary procession on Corpus Christi mm-hmm. Sunday? And I said, sure, be more than happy to. It's a real blessing. And so coming out of the noon mass, there are 350 people behind us, and our pastor, Father Cyprian, has got the Eucharist in the monstrance that literally stopped traffic. We did have, you know, a police escort, but it also started conversations from people who said, jamming away from my faith, or what is that? So it's not as adversarial as you might think it is. It's not necessarily standing at the corner of Fifth and Main and, you know, yelling with a Bible in your hand. It is in sometimes some very subtle ways how we can bring the issue of faith to the table.
I think that that's exactly right. And we still have in our society a high level of religious diversity. Many of us have friends across religious difference lines, different denominations, different religious traditions. One of the great ways that we can demonstrate neighbor love is by getting to know people from these different traditions and demonstrating what civility looks like when we radically disagree on who God is and things. Christians should be the very first ones, not to say that we believe all those other faiths are what leads to God,
right,
but that we recognize their value in the life of those people, that they're our fellow citizens, that they have every right to practice their faith lawfully and peacefully in this country. That's a huge witness to the Golden Rule.
As we begin this hour of the Drew Mariani Show, looking at the tragedy yesterday in Nigeria, Catholics, 50 of them at Mass, gunned down. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack as of June 6th, but we're hopeful that we've given you some solutions on how to bring the issue of religious persecution in. Very often you and I pray for that in our own parishes in the prayer of the faithful, but to really bring it down to you and me and to stand up for our faith and to share our faith in a very great way with clarity and charity with so many others to address some of these issues that may be boiling under the surface in our own communities. Eric Patterson is the Executive Vice President of the Religious Freedom Institute. You can find them online at religiousfreedominstitute.org. Eric, thanks for your perspective this morning and your solutions this afternoon. Take care.
This is my pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. Eric Patterson here on the Drew Mariani Show. Coming up in the next segment, it's, you know, you have to laugh sometimes, and it's so sad that it's funny how a suit has been filed against the Fed for defunding NFP classes. Again, it's another way that you and I can stand up for faith, and we'll explain coming up here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Get informed and get connected. It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper for Drew on this Monday afternoon. We're coming up on the 54th anniversary of Humanae Vitae, and it was written by Pope St. Paul VI back in 1968. And Humanae Vitae, as you know, is this beautiful and clear teaching about God's plan for married love and the transmission of life. And I mention that only because here is, as we just talked about religious persecution, the federal government again persecuting women in the United States. Let me tell you the story. This is the Catholic Medical Association, which has issued public comments recommending coverage of fertility awareness-based methods. We're talking about NFP, at a time when the United States Department of Health and Human Services have removed NFP from health coverage. Someone from the Catholic Medical Association is suing. Talk about standing up for your faith. Let's take a look at that right now. Julie Blake is joining us, senior counsel for regulatory litigation at the Alliance Defending Freedom. And over the last decade, she's been really on the front lines of very high-profile, precedent-setting cases, including the Town of Green versus Galloway. And prior to the ADF, she served as Deputy Solicitor General of the State of Missouri, and before that as the Assistant Solicitor General for the State of West Virginia, a graduate of Notre Dame Law School, and putting this story in perspective for us on Relevant Radio. Julie, good afternoon. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Thanks for having me.
You know, we were just talking about religious persecution in light of what happened in Nigeria yesterday. But again, here is another example, Julie, of religious persecution that's happening here in the United States. And thanks be to God for this one person standing up, this doctor standing up against the United States Department of Health and Human Services and suing them.
Yes, our client, Dr. Cami Jo Tice-Haroff, is a family nurse practicing women and her patients. Women shouldn't have to fear losing their doctor and their insurance coverage, fertility awareness instruction, just because the Biden administration has made backroom government decisions to take it away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Is it solely because of the administration just being so pro-abortion? Just, you know, ignoring all issues of life here in the United States?
Well, it's really hard to say when its decisions. It just announces things on a website. And part of what we're bringing our lawsuit about for Dr. Cami Jo is that the government has a duty to make a reasoned decision and at least explain itself or say, hey, we're aware that we're making a change and here's why we're doing it. And here the Biden administration hasn't done any of that. The government just deleted insurance coverage of fertility awareness-based family planning without considering or responding to public comments. Was doing that, if it even noticed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, frankly, the law requires the government to follow procedures. And if they're going to require us to do things, then they should have to follow the right procedures themselves, particularly when it's so important to so many women who rely on this medical coverage to do what's best for their families.
How is HHS imposing its own preferred method of family planning on all women?
So for many years, fertility awareness-based methods have had a guaranteed insurance coverage for that. This is actually something put in place under the last year of the Obama administration, which where they said, look, if we're going to require everyone to cover various forms of contraceptive methods and services, women should be given an alternative who want to use fertility awareness-based instructions. And so women have had this guarantee that their insurance, their health insurance has to cover it without cost sharing. So even women in high deductible plans are able to access this to get what's best for themselves. And so for several years now, these patients' needs have been covered by insurance. And then, unfortunately, earlier this year, the Biden administration just issued a new website and said it was gone with no explanation, without following the procedures you normally would see for something that's a really big decision like this, and you know, doing any of the things that's required in law. And so, as a result, many of doctors are going to be unable to afford the care that's best for their families. Mm-hmm. Because the only methods that are going to be covered are going to be ones that is best for their medical needs or their pro-life beliefs or, as a matter of the conscience, what's best for them.
Julie Blake is with us. She is the Senior Counsel for Regulatory Litigation at Alliance Defending Freedom. And we're talking about a doctor who's also a member of the National Association of Catholic Nurses suing the federal government for removing natural family planning from federal health coverage. Give us a little bit of a timeline on this, please, Julie, of when the suit was filed. And in your experience, is this something that's going to be tied up in the courts forever and a day? Will we ever see a decision on this?
So we filed the lawsuit on behalf of Dr. Cami Jo Tyseroff. She's a doctor of nursing practice, a licensed family nurse practitioner in Texas. And we asked for the judge to issue. Most companies are making plans. They're changing details. People have open enrollment coming up, and they need answers, and they need certainty soon. And so we went to the court and we said, please, we can't wait till the whole lawsuit goes over. We need some relief now in the meantime. And the court has scheduled a hearing on our request for July 12th, which by the standards of federal courts is pretty fast.
That is
and
pretty
so
fast.
We're looking forward to getting in front of the judge and saying, hey, we need to hit the brakes on this because women shouldn't be losing their coverage as a response to what all these bureaucrats are doing in a back room somewhere. This is important, and if you're going to have changes, you need to have notice. They have to go about this the right way, and you need to consider the reliance of so many women on this coverage guarantee.
And also to give this a little more perspective as we talk about the fertility awareness-based methods that the feds have removed from the health care plan, these are the ones with no chemicals or any kind of material-based toxic effects for women in the environment. That's an important element to this story.
That's right. Many of Dr. Cami Jo Tyseroff's patients are women who want to address fertility and examine their reproductive health, their holistic health, with non-invasive, non-interventionist methods, methods that don't require drugs that can have difficult or severe burdensome side effects, and that allow them still to for what is best for their families in all of this. And unfortunately, they're taking away the medical support necessary to empower women with the information they need to use fertility awareness-based methods, methods that can be used both to achieve or avoid pregnancy.
Maybe we've watched too much Law and Order in this country, and so, you know, we assume what it is like in a courtroom, but give us a little picture of, now we understand, you know, what your viewpoint is and how we stand as Catholic men and women. What will the federal government's argument be when you finally get into federal court on July 12th for this hearing?
Well, we're still waiting for them to respond, so we'll have to guess a little bit about what they might say. But what they'll probably say is, hey, no one's harmed until all of this, you know, you have a surprise bill and everything's denied. You know, come back a long time from now after we've made every, you know, health insurance plan, you know, cut this coverage guarantee. Later, run out the clock, you know, that's usually what they say is they say, judge, you don't have to hear this case. Don't decide any of these difficult things. Nothing to see here. And, you know, that just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense when you had a legal right to guaranteed coverage, and the government has taken it away now. Your legal rights have changed now. You don't need to wait to get the surprise bill and have patients be in a real financial jam down the road to know that the federal government's action that they took now and that a court has all it needs to know to make that review now.
Julie, I may be answering my own question here, but you talk about these elements of health coverage that have always been there that the federal government has taken away right now. My question is, how do you divorce the faith aspect of this? Or is it just purely on something that was there, something that was a right, something that was in coverage that was just arbitrarily taken away? Is that where your argument solely is, or do you bring an element of faith into it?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. This is arbitrary government decision-making at its peak. What the federal government did was they didn't even make this decision themselves. Mm-hmm. They said, hey, an outside group recommended this, rubber stamped. And that outside group is ACOG, which has a longstanding agenda of pushing a lot of other contraceptive methods, including abortion. We know the Biden administration very strongly pushing abortion as a method of family planning. Mm-hmm. And so even though they didn't say a word about religion, I mean, they didn't say a word about anything. They just deleted this. One day it was on the list of things insurance companies are required to guarantee. The next day it was gone.
Right. Can you tell me what ACOG means? Who's ACOG? What does that stand for?
ACOG's an association, a college of obstetricians and gynecologists. Mm-hmm. It's a professional association. Unfortunately, they have some very active members who promote abortion. And, you know, it just doesn't seem like this is on their radar as something that's important and valuable to women, and that they're looking to impose their choice as opposed to letting women choose what's right for them and choosing fertility awareness-based family planning methods.
You're representing Dr. Tyson Roof, who's a member of the National Catholic Association of Nurses. How much more vocal do these organizations and the similar organizations representing Catholic doctors have to be in the continuing debate of life issues here in the United States?
You know, I think that we might be seeing a time where we have associations, we have Catholic doctors, or we've all been prepared for times like this, times where it's going to be necessary to stand for freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, we're praying and hoping that the Supreme Court will overrule Roe v. Wade. And if that happens, then it's a time for everyone to take a stand and focus on what we can do in the future. And make no mistake, the medical profession is going to be front and center in this, in caring for women, caring for children, caring for families, and resisting attacks on conscience and resisting the promotion of abortion. Our group, Alliance Defending Freedom, actually represents the Catholic Medical Association and other lawsuits as well, that the Biden administration is already trying to impose its own preferred view in medical care in the context of procedures about gender identity, rather than letting doctors do what's best for their patients. What we see is an administration that on many different levels has policies that are not supportive of women, supportive of pro-life people, supportive of rights of conscience and religious freedom. And so in times like this, that's why our group is here to work with other groups, other faithful people, other pro-life people, and to try and defend freedom and do what's best for marriage, the family, children, religious freedom.
And again, exactly what Julie is talking about with us here on the Drew Mariani Show is what you and I pray for all the time, is those issues of religious freedom, those issues of religious persecution that is really happening to us on so many different levels here in the United States. Thanks be to God for Julie and the team at Alliance Defending Freedom, who will be in federal court arguing on behalf of Dr. Tyson Roof, who's a member of the National Catholic Association of Nurses, on the United States Department of Health and Human Services just arbitrarily deleting, Control-X delete, fertility awareness-based methods from health coverage. from NFP and things like that. You can join our conversation here, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're hopeful that this conversation is empowering and educational for you, I should say, because these are the real issues that are going to come right to the table if Roe versus Wade gets overturned. And I know we've been praying millions of memoraries for Roe versus Wade to be overturned, but it's going to come right back to our own communities, and we're going to see these things happening right in our own cities. We'll continue our conversation with Julie and with you at 888-914-9149 as we continue on the Drew Mariani Show here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Your news. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Your news now.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper for Drew this afternoon. Thanks be to God for courageous women like Dr. Tais Farouf, who's a member of the National Catholic Association of Nurses, who are standing up and suing the federal government for removing NFP practices, natural family planning practices, from health plans, from the federal health plans. Just bam, taking it right out. It was an arbitrary decision. It's going to court. There is a hearing coming up on July 12th, pretty fast to be heard in the federal courts. Julie Blake is telling us about that, and she will be in that court. She's the senior counsel for regulatory litigation at Alliance Defending Freedom. Julie, at the beginning of our segment, we were talking about the fact that we're coming up on the 54th anniversary of Humanae Vitae, that magnificent document from 1968. Written by Pope St. Paul VI, and this clear teaching about God's plan for married love and the transmission of life. And I remember talking about it on Morning Air at the time, and there was such an aha among Catholics who didn't realize the beauty and the depth of Humanae Vitae. Do we also need to simply do more of an education process, at the very grassroots level, so things like this really don't happen and surprise us as Catholics?
Yeah, you know, I think one thing that would be great is if your listeners know more about fertility awareness-based methods of family planning. They know more about the reasons why it could be best for them medically, philosophically, and if they know that their insurance plans have had to guarantee this coverage, and hopefully if we win our lawsuit, we'll still have to keep guaranteeing this coverage for them, so that they know that they have this as an option and that it's affordable, because the medical support for fertility awareness-based methods of family planning, that instruction should be guaranteed coverage without cost sharing. That's actually a rule that the Obama administration put in place for every health plan that you get from your employer in America. And what we want to do is stand up and make sure that that stays where it is, and that the Biden administration doesn't take that away from women and hurt their families just because of what some backroom bureaucrats are deciding to do on a website somewhere.
You mentioned that insurance plans cover this. I don't know if you can answer this. Is the insurance lobby siding with the Biden administration in this arbitrary removal of fertility awareness-based methods?
You know, it's difficult for us to say, because the government just did this in the dark of night without the public comment and we have for a decision this important. But what generally we're going to guess is going to happen is that, you know, they cover what the federal government says you have to cover. And if federal government doesn't say you have to cover it, we've got no guarantee that it's got to be covered at all, let alone covered without cost sharing, as it has been for several years now. So it's important, because we just don't know if plans are going to prioritize this anymore if they're not required to do so.
So it's incumbent upon those listening right now to check their insurance plans to see if it's indeed in there.
You know, it should be in there. Right now, every insurance company is still required to do this, whether they know about it or not. And your listeners, if they want, can call their insurance companies and ask and say, is this covered or not? Our website, adflegal.org, has details about our case in this. And you can also look at it on the federal government's website, where it clearly says, hey, it used to have this as required, and now we're taking it away. And we're trying to just have that. The Biden administration said that starting at the end of this year, you don't have to cover it anymore. And we all know how long insurance companies take to change their plans, get ready for next year, get ready for open enrollment. They're doing all that right now to take effect by the end of this year, which is part of why we're going to a judge right now and saying, hey, you need to take a look at this. The government just can't ignore public comment, ignore providing reasons for its change, ignore the reliance of women on this coverage, or at least consider alternatives like keeping it in place. Provide a reasoned decision for what they're doing. The federal government has to follow procedures. It can't just do things arbitrarily without having sunshine on what it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I was going to say, it's interesting how it takes so long for an insurance company. And for those of you who work in the insurance company, my apologies. How long it takes for them to add something, but to take something away, that happens in an instant, doesn't it?
Well, the federal government certainly seems to think that it can work that way. And so
you don't have to comment on that as an attorney.
We get the word out.
Right. But also, you know, and I hate to use the scare tactics that we see so often, you know, in the 24/7 news cycle, but it really is appropriate, Julie, in our conversation about suing the government for taking away, just eliminating arbitrarily forms of natural family planning from health coverage, is if they've done this by literally a keystroke, what else are they going to delete that, you know, affects us as Catholics?
You know, it's delete, add. I think that they know that it's easier to do things on a government website than to go through proper procedures. And it's even easier to do that than to have to get anything through Congress and have the people's representative vote on things.
Right.
And so what we're seeing is a pattern by the Biden administration from day one and continuing, where they're like, you know, we're just going to announce something as the law. And whether we go through the procedures or not, whether Congress votes on it or not, leave it to you to sue us and see what a court says a long time down the road. We're seeing that in a lot of our different cases against the Biden administration, where they are targeting in particular people of religious faith, people with conscience rights, or people who just believe in sound medicine and don't agree with the ideological agenda that the Biden administration has in many ways that affect medical practice or education. And so the Biden administration just decided it's easier to do things themselves as bureaucrats than to have to go through the procedures, the votes, Congress, public comment and participation that they're required to do by law. They're really pushing the envelope really aggressively.
Right, because all you have to do is look at, you know, where we stand on the issue of Roe versus Wade and the makeup of what's going on at Capitol Hill, and they know that this wouldn't stand a chance of surviving right now, even with the slight Democratic majority up on the Hill.
We're looking very closely at what the Biden administration does every day to make sure that we can help people stand for freedom, especially when the government is pushing things that are very damaging, that are not pro-life, that are trying to surge funds and protections for abortion as opposed to protecting unborn children, where they're trying to push a lot of harmful procedures about gender onto children instead of following best medical practices, where they're trying to not have women be able to participate in athletics and competing only against women, and instead are setting them up so that we're not protecting women's sports. There's so many different things that the government is doing right now, trying to have men be in women's dorms and women's private spaces. There's just a lot going on that the Biden administration thought it's just easier to do it on a government website. We'll push the envelope, and I'll wait for a court to stop me. I'll make somebody have to go to court and sue to stop. And so that's what we're here for at Alliance Defending Freedom, to help stand in that gap, stand with our courageous clients for freedom.
And Julie, that's a very important point, because when we see all of these things that are going on as we talk about freedom, and of course this is religious freedom with the removal of natural family planning from government health plans, but it's at so many different levels, as you bring up the issue of, you know, women and women's sports, the transgender issues, and so many different ways that the administration is pushing against the culture, but especially against the Catholic culture.
Yes, and that's a serious concern right now. What we really should have is a situation that welcomes children, welcomes life, that is a pro-life culture, a pro-woman culture, a pro-family culture that helps women do what's best for their families, that lets women succeed in sports, that women have safe and private places in their dorms, their locker rooms, their showers. So many of these issues that are so important to people of religion and people of goodwill of any religion, too, people of conscience and people who just care about what's best for people in terms of sound medicine and reasonable, respectful ways of living with fellow people in society.
But the moral of this story also in this conversation is that we have to get more involved. You know, we can hear these conversations, these important conversations on the radio, on the smart speaker, and kind of shake our heads and do tisk, tisk, tisk. But we've got to get more involved as Catholic men and women. We have to, you know, look at ourselves in the mirror and just say, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something out loud in my community, in my kids' schools, to let them know where I stand, because this is as much a grassroots issue in Peoria, Illinois, as it is going on right now in a federal court in Washington, D.C., come July 12th.
Yes, it's a great time to become informed, become aware, and to think about what you can do in your community with your employer, your insurance coverage, on any of these issues. If you'd like to learn more about any of this, our website's adflegal.org. And we have lots of information about all of these issues so you can get more informed and aware of what's going on.
It's a great website that will empower you with a lot of information, adflegal.org. That's adflegal.org. Julie, we pray that the Holy Spirit continue to guide you and your team as you head into federal court in arguing and standing up for an issue of life, a very critical issue of life here in the United States. Thanks for your time today on the Drew Mariani Show. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coming up in the next hour, Drew will pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet Plus. A new Gallup poll shows that most Americans are pro-choice, but there's actually good news in that for you and me as Catholics. All of that more as we continue here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.